The president appointed the vice president to be in charge of the debt talks, and then he took off for Europe for a couple of weeks. And just to try to get the vice president to sit down, it's only been within the last 3 weeks that they've actually that he's actually given time with the leaders from the House and the Senate to talk about, you know, exactly what to do. You know, the nation does not have a problem with taxes; it has a problem with spending. And I don't know of too many people in the House of Representatives and the Senate who are willing to lift the debt limit unless it's accompanied by very strict controls on the amount of spending, and it puts the country on a different trajectory in terms of overall spending, overall philosophy. I mean, I sit on the Foreign Affairs Committee, and I got in a big fight with the fellow who's in charge of the foreign aid, which has enough problems in itself. They've come up with a brand new $30 million program for alternative fuels. Now, this is foreign aid, and they're investing up to $6 million in somebody to work on a on new type of fuel cell to propel a bicycle, so that you can take the fuel cell off the bicycle and use for other purposes. Well, if you go online, you know, there are already inventions on that. And I had the director of USAID in my office, and I said, why are you doing this? He said, oh, this is an investment in clean energy, clean future. And I said, look it. And I showed him all the different programs out there. And you have this mentality that if you just spend money, things are going to happen. And it doesn't work that way. Plus, you know, how much is this bicycle going to cost? And how many people overseas are going to benefit from that? The purpose of U.S. AID, foreign aid, is to help starving nations and people that can't get food.
6:26 in the morning on WNTA, we've got Congressman Don Manzullo, Republican 16th Congressional District, on the phone. Eugene has been waiting to talk to you, Don. Eugene, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Doug and Congressman?
Hi, Gene. Eugene, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm wondering, how do you feel about legal medical marijuana, and how do you feel about the failed drug war? Is there any room for reform or talk for reform? I know a former president, Carter, has said it's damaging us more than helping us, and former world leaders came together, I believe, a month ago and came up with that same conclusion. Do you think more of the same with the same result, or do you think it's time for some serious talk about reform?
Thank you, Eugene, for your call. We'll let the congressman answer. Serious reform on medical marijuana and marijuana.
First of all, it's not really a state issue because all narcotics are governed by the federal government. The problem that I've got with that, Doug, is before I was elected to Congress, I practiced law for 22 years. Did a lot of juvenile work, hundreds of juvenile cases. And I saw firsthand where marijuana is indeed the gateway drug to everything else. It's just the way it is. And my big concern is that if you elevate it, as it were, to so-called medical marijuana, then the question is, does that give it, the use of marijuana, cannabis, more credibility? At this point, you know, we have so many other drugs on the market, so many other things out there, and I just can't see it happening on the federal level. And even if it happens at the state level, the federal government has jurisdiction over it.
Let's talk about Afghanistan and Libya for a certain amount of time. There seems to be some debate on funding and how long we're going to be there. People are tired of war, it's said on nationwide polls. The president has announced this pullback. Is that more political than real, or what?
Well, I don't think it's political. I really do not believe that any president will get troops involved in a war for political purposes. It's just, maybe I'm naive.
No, I'm talking about the pullout.
I think it's both strategic. Strategic and political, but what the president did say during the course of the campaign, and everybody agreed with him, including President Bush, was that there has to be a strategic withdrawal, putting in place or leaving in place enough semblance of a government that the Afghanians can govern themselves. And the president went along with the surge after thinking about it and decided that's the thing to do. He set up a timeline to get the troops out of Afghanistan, and he's been pretty much trying to stick to that timeline. So the timeline is longer than what we wanted, but at least there's a plan put in effect for us to have an exit strategy in Afghanistan. The other problem, of course, is in Libya, where this is going on now about 100 days ago when Congress was in session. The president consulted with the African Union, with the Arab League, with the United Nations, and with NATO, never consulted with Congress in getting involved in that action, call it what you want. We call it hostilities. He denies it's hostilities in Libya that costs about $9 million a day. And Secretary Gates said that, you know, we have no strategic interest in Libya. The president said we got involved in Libya to stop a massacre from occurring. And at the same time, al-Bashar in Syria has continued to kill more people, I think more in the Arab Spring than all the other countries combined. So last week we had two votes on Libya in the House of Representatives. The first vote was the so-called McCain-Kerry resolution, the Senate resolution, that in fact authorizes the president to spend an additional year in Libya. The second resolution, the first resolution was defeated 2-1, meaning members of the House are not interested in giving the president the authority to stay there up to a year. The second resolution said, you know, we spend no money on Libya with the exception of things such as rescue, search and rescue, intelligence, in-flight fueling, strategic and logistical advice, which to me all speaks of hostilities. And that one also lost by a margin of about 2-1. And so on two occasions, two back-to-back votes, the House of Representatives told President Obama that we need to get out of Libya, that you do not have authority under the War Powers Act to stay there.
And, of course, the International Criminal Court has issued an arrest warrant for Muammar Gaddafi as of yesterday, so this is getting to be almost like the search for bin Laden.
Well, it is. And you know what's really disgusting, Doug, is the fact that the man who had masterminded the Lockerbie killing, that was all coming out of Libya itself, was in that Scottish jail, and the United Kingdom released that guy, said based upon humanitarian basis that he was in the process of dying. He could have died in prison, but he killed over 200 people. And then, as it turns out, there was strong evidence that it was a big deal for British Petroleum to expand its assets in Libya. I mean, this is really disgusting.
We have limited time with Congressman Manzullo. I want to cover one or two more things. What about the Fannie Mae legislation that you're sponsored?
Well, here's what we have. Excuse me. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are two of what are called government-sponsored entities, GSEs, that will buy a mortgage from a mortgage vendor or a local bank, and then they will pool all these mortgages together and then sell them on the secondary market as a security item. And I sit on the Financial Services Committee. I have ever since 1996. And the what bothered me going back as far as 2000 is the easy credit that was going on, plus the fact that both President Bush and President Clinton had encouraged Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to buy what are called these subprime loans or Alt-A loans, which is just above subprime, from vendors such as Countrywide. And in other words, to increase their holdings of these loans of very precarious very precarious securities. And back in 2000, 2003, 2005, I was on what we call GSE reform bills, whose sole purpose was to tighten up the credit, not to make it more difficult for legitimate buyers to buy homes. But, Doug, we had the excess of people buying homes that couldn't even afford to make the first payment.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. And then when I chaired the Small Business Committee and also on financial services, we had hearings with Franklin Raines, who was the head of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and it was obvious that they were actually cooking the books. They were showing that the profits were more than what they were, going down to not cents but mills, for the purpose of the executives and the board of directors on Fannie Mae getting executive pay increases. I mean, this is corruption.
Now we've got a. I know I promised you I'd let you go. So we got one final thing to ask you before I let you go,
yes.
And that's the horse race for presidency. I know it's too early to make a pick. I know that you're probably not going to announce who you're backing at this point in time. But Michelle Bachmann seems to be the darling this week of the Republican Party, and she's getting a lot of the attention. She's allegedly a statistical tie now with Mitt Romney in the Iowa thing, and it's early. We all know that. But what is your feeling? Do you know Michelle Bachmann?
Michelle and I are very good friends.
Okay, what's the take on her?
Well, she's this lady is a former IRS prosecutor, tax attorney. I mean, she prosecuted tax cheats on behalf of the government, and people have underestimated her for a long time. And I sat with her also on Financial Services Committee. This is a very, very smart lady, very savvy. An excellent speaker. She knows how to carry herself very well. She's got some, a good foundation of top conservative. You know, you cannot underestimate somebody like that.
Yeah, and Chris Wallace had to be embarrassed calling her a flake on a Sunday show. He apologized yesterday, by the way.
Before, no, what had happened?
He called her a flake.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, and you look back at her background. She has five kids, and she served their country well, and she's got all this, what you're talking about, her background as an attorney. He did apologize. I don't know where that came from, but he accused her of being a flake. Anyway, Don, I know you got a lot on your plate today. We thank you for about 20 minutes with us on the morning show, and keep in touch and stay well.
We appreciate all you guys praying for Frieda. She's going to make a full recovery.
Very good.
So we're really blessed.
God bless you, my friend, and Frieda and your whole family. Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right.